Good morning. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
We don't need to just reserve that for Easter Sunday. I'm going to welcome all of you this morning and any visitors that we have with us. It's good to have you worshipping with us in Kemnay this morning. Now, there's quite a few intimations, some of which you've got on your sheets. I'm going to expand one or two a little. As you're aware, our minister Joshua is off sick at the moment, and during his sick leave, will you please refer business matters to either Sheila Simpson or Rita Custard? You've got their numbers on your sheet, and currently we're not sure who the pastoral care is being done by, so I'm going to suggest that you speak to either Sheila or Rita, as they will know. Okay? Yes, thank you. Also, there will be no communion this month because Joshua is not here. But for those who wish to partake in communion, there is always an open door at St. Anne's in Kendall Road at 10 o'clock, or at St. Mary's in Inverurie at, I forget whether it's 8 or 8:30, and then at 11. So if you wish to take communion, please join other Christians. Okay, it's a different flavour, but we're all worshipping the same God. And please continue to pray for Joshua and Heather at this time. On Wednesday, the service at the Grove will take place as usual, but there will be no communion. And then the moderator's visit. Tonight at Strathbogie Church, Huntley, there is a Songs of Praise, and there's to be a male voice choir from Belhelvie. So if some of you could make your way there and enjoy and join in the Songs of Praise, I'm sure that would be much appreciated. Also, tomorrow, the moderator is involved in a golf challenge here at Kemnay. I think it's breakfast about 8 o'clock, I understand. So if anyone wants to join us for breakfast at the clubhouse, feel free. That's maybe a bit early for some of you, but they do good bacon rolls. On Friday night at 7 o'clock, here in Kemnay Church Centre, there's a Scots night with Stovies. I understand the moderator and his wife like dancing, so we need some people to come along and dance with them, or even to borrow the moderator and dance with him. So please, would you let Anne Brown know if you're coming, so there's enough Stovies to go around. This is a free event, folks. Make good use of it. On Saturday, there's going to be a walk around Benahee with the moderator, and you're asked to meet at the Benahee car park. The moderator will have a tour of the centre first, and he's going to have lunch with the trustees afterwards. But you can join in for the exercise, you can take your own lunch and keep walking, or whatever. And then on Sunday at 7 p.m, that's the 30th, there's going to be a presentation of long service certificates during worship. And also a reminder that this Wednesday evening, there is to be a hustings in the village hall for the local elections at 7:30. We should be involved in our community and involved in our elections, local elections, so please go along and hear what the candidates have to say. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Let's just take a moment or two in silence to prepare ourselves for worship. And let's now join together as we sing the song, As We Are Gathered.
As Our Father, we thank you that we are once again able to come into your presence to worship you. We pray that our worship will be acceptable to you. Help us to remember that you long to hear and answer our prayers. So at the beginning of our service, we acknowledge you as our Creator. And we thank you for the gifts you've given to each of us. As well as life itself, we thank you for our friends and families. We thank you for your church of which we are part. And we take time now to thank you for each other. We thank you for the love and support we receive from and are enabled to give to our friends here. We thank you for the many good things you give us, and we pray that we might never take these for granted. Lord, we thank you for our health. And we think of those known to us personally who are not feeling so well just now. In the silence of our hearts, we ask you to bless them, and we would ask that you might make them feel well again. Most of all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you that we can call him our Saviour, as we remember with grateful hearts that you sent him into this world, that through him we might be saved. Lord, as we pray, we remember that all too often we displease you by the way we lead our lives. Forgive us, Lord, when we don't do or speak as we should, and we ask you to guard our conversation, our actions, and even our thoughts day by day. Lord, we pray for the various activities that take place in our church, all with the purpose of telling others about the love of Jesus. So we ask you to bless the work at Catch and all the work with the children and young people. We thank you for the Ladies' Good Morning group, for mainly music, and the men's group. We ask too that you might continue to bless the work done in the loaves and fishes. We thank you for the Bible study groups, and we thank you for the many unseen things done in your name. We pray that our worship this morning will bring glory to your name. We pray as we sing our songs of praise to you and listen to your word, we might understand and be challenged by them. We thank you for the gifts you have given to those who lead us in our singing. And we pray for Noel as she leads us this morning and preaches later. Prepare our hearts and minds so that we will be able to learn what you would say to us through it. Lord, we pray that you'll accept our offering, that it might be used here and further afield for your glory. Lord, accept our worship and continue to be with us as we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever. Amen.
We're here because Jesus is risen. We're here because we love him. So let's join together and sing, "At your feet we fall, mighty risen Lord." Younger people here this morning, but I think there's maybe a few younger people sitting a bit behind you. Do you think? What do you think? I mean, I'm quite young, really. I maybe don't look it, but I've got some questions for you this morning, okay? I'm going to ask you 5 questions and see whether you believe them or not. So, first of all, do you believe that Jim has got a guitar in church this morning? You're going to tell me? Yes? No? Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Do you believe there's somebody hiding in the pulpit? Maybe you need to go and have a look. Please feel free to go and have a look. Come on, have a look. Shall we go and have a look? Come on, let's go and have a look. See if there's somebody hiding in the pulpit. Go and have a look, one at a time, and don't say anything. Okay. One at a time, just have a look. Don't say anything. Okay. Right, okay. Right, okay. Now, what was the answer? Come on. No. Okay, there's nobody hiding in the pulpit. It's quite safe this morning. Now then, has Ishbel got a red hat on? What do you think? Yes, yes. And have I got an elephant in my pocket? Yes, no? What do you think? Is it too big to go in my pocket? No, I could. I could. So what are you going to say, yes or no? It's a bit big to go in my pocket, isn't it? An elephant. Where the jury's out on this one. Okay. Has Pam got green hair? Yes. Okay, thank you, Pam. Now, it's easy to believe the things you can see. You couldn't see what was in my pocket, but some of you were suspicious, weren't you? I did indeed have an elephant in my pocket. He's a very small elephant, and actually, he speaks to my granddaughter on FaceTime with me. So I thought he'd like to meet you this morning. But you know, it's easy to believe things when we see them, isn't it? I mean, you actually had to go and look in the pulpit to make sure there was nobody there. And what we're going to be looking at as slightly more grown-up people, in other words, slightly older children, we're going to look at a man called Thomas this morning. And Thomas was the disciple who said, unless I see the prints in Jesus' hands where the nails were through and see the hole in his side, I'm not going to believe. And yet we believe without actually physically seeing these things. And that's very special. And Jesus has blessed us to do that so that we can believe in him without actually seeing the nail prints and the hole in his side. So my elephant invites you to walk by faith in song.
Give you a bit rock and roll, you know. I walk by faith in song. I faith in you. I faith. Every step I take is my step.
Good morning. Today's reading is from John 20, verses 19 to 30, and that can be found on page 1089 on the Pew Bible. Jesus appears to his disciples. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, then they are not forgiven." Jesus appears to Thomas. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put them on my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord, my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed those who have not seen, and yet they believed." The purpose of John's Gospel. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Thanks be the Lord for the reading of his word.
We're going to look at Thomas shortly, but in the meantime, let's sing again, "Jesus, We Enthrone You."
You know, so far we've sung, "As we are gathered, Jesus is here." We've sung, "At your feet we fall." Can't stand in, or be at somebody's feet if I'm not present. And we've said that we walk by faith. Jesus said, "Every time you come together in my name, I am there in the midst of you." Logically, that means he's here now. Just think of that as we sing the words, "Jesus, we have thrown you, we proclaim you, standing here in the midst of us, we raise you up with our praise."
Jesus, we enthrone. We raise you up with our praise.
Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." That's the first time in the Gospel of John that anyone acknowledges that Jesus is Lord and God. But Thomas wanted proof that this man that the disciples had seen really was Jesus. They'd spent several years going around together as a group. They'd learned from him. They'd prayed with him. But I'd like us to think and go with Thomas this morning. Thomas, Didymus as he's called because he's a twin, was a man from Galilee. He might have been a fisherman, we don't know. But he was called, like the other disciples, to be a follower of Jesus. He was a Jew, so he was brought up under the Jewish law. He would have known the law and the prophets as we find it in the Old Testament. He maybe wouldn't have understood it. But slowly, as he and the others walked with Jesus, they discovered what the Old Testament writings were about. And Jesus did say to them, "I haven't come to abolish the law and the prophets, but to complete them." We often talk about Thomas as doubting Thomas. I'm not completely convinced about that, but I'll leave that one with you just now. In John's Gospel, Thomas is mentioned 3-4 times. First of all, when Jesus appoints his 12 companions in the 3 synoptic Gospels, that's Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he's mentioned then. And then in John's Gospel, he's mentioned as the disciple who urges the others to go with Jesus to see Lazarus when Lazarus had died. Thomas might come over as a bit sort of, because he says, "Let's go and die with him." In other words, let's go and die with Lazarus. So not quite sure what he was thinking about then, but he encouraged the other disciples to go with Jesus. That's very positive. He might have been a bit slow to understand, but he was right in what he said. And when we decide to walk with Jesus in his light, even if our life seems a bit dark and risky, and we don't understand, Jesus will walk through it with us. Thomas appears again in John's Gospel. Jesus had just given his disciples a new commandment: love one another as I have loved you, and others will see this love in you and want to know about it. But Jesus also tells them he's going to go away. And they struggle with that. Wouldn't you, if your best friend was leaving, moving, going away and didn't tell you how or where or when? We'd all struggle with that. But Jesus says, "Don't be put off. Where I'm going, there's plenty of room. In my Father's house, I'm going to go and prepare a room for you. And then I'll come back and get you. You already know the road I'm taking," says Jesus. "Really? A new house? A new world? Heaven and earth meeting when God renews the whole world? A way into an unknown future, and we'll be able to find it?" Thomas says, I think a bit like we might say as well, "But we've no idea where you're going. So how can we know the way?" And Jesus replied, "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life." Wow, what a statement. "And no one gets to the Father except through me. And if you really know me, you'll also know the Father." From now on, you know him. You've even seen him, because you've seen me. To see me is to see the Father. This is what Jesus is saying to his disciples. It can be a bit hard sometimes to get our heads around this. And how can Jesus make such a claim? And how can we make that claim for him as we live out our lives? I mean, aren't all religions much the same? That's the kind of question that you'll be asked as you talk about your faith to others. Well, actually, no, they're not. They may begin to go down the same road, but the way to the Father, to God, is very specifically the way which only Jesus can lead us on. The Jesus Thomas knew and we encounter, who washed the disciples' feet, wept at the tomb of Lazarus, who serves, who is compassionate, and so much more, is not the kind of God other religions portray. Not only that, but he's alive. Through Jesus, we can follow and get to know God by continuing to do what Jesus did. As we're encouraged to, we too can speak this earth-shattering truth that he spoke. Well, that's a lot to take on board, isn't it? How can we be enabled to take forward this wonderful hope, faith, joy in our world day by day, and especially in the world we see on our television screens and read about in our newspapers? Let's have another look at where Thomas is at. This time, after the other disciples have seen the risen Lord, and he hasn't. And Thomas says, and this is where people calling him Doubting Thomas, unless I see the marks on his hands, place my finger in the nail marks and in the wound in his side, I will not believe. That's what Thomas said. And I'm sure sometimes we'd love to be able to do those things too. And this is a reaction similar to one that we'll meet from time to time as we talk about our faith. A number of years ago, as a doctor in hospital, a plumber came to fix something in my room. And I appeared at one point when he was there, and he said, "You've got all these things around your wall about God and about Jesus. I would love to know him. Can you introduce me? Can you show me him?" And we talked a bit, and I said, "I can't actually show you him in physical flesh, but I can introduce you to him if you want to." He didn't really want to do that at that point, and I can only hope and pray that at some point he met Jesus. And it's the kind of thing we meet on the streets at night in Aberdeen. "Show me Jesus. Prove him to me." It's all very airy-fairy. "How can you believe in such rubbish?" That's the kind of comments we get. But it's the fact that people engage, want to talk, and know an awful lot about Jesus and about the Christian faith. They are interested. They want to know. We need to be able to share. So what is it that changes things for Thomas when he sees Jesus? And as far as we know, he didn't actually put his finger in the nail holes. We're not told yes or no. That doesn't matter. But Jesus appeared in the room with them. No doors opened, so maybe that youngster who talked about teleporting has got a point. I don't know. Maybe one day I'll find out. Jesus says, "Peace be with you." Now, that in itself, Thomas would recognize the words and the voice. And Jesus' peace is so different to the kind of peace that we hear about elsewhere. Thomas is immediately able to see the marks in the hands and may well think, "Oh dear. What is Jesus going to say now? Is he going to kick me out?" But he meets a smiling Jesus who offers him a gentle rebuke for needing proof. But also he offers an encouragement to those of us who have never seen Jesus, that we are blessed when without seeing the risen Lord, we believe in him. Thank you, Thomas, for allowing that to happen. Maybe it was doubt. Maybe it was that he wanted to see what the other disciples had seen. Thomas is a human just like the rest of us. He put his feet in it. He had trouble believing without seeing, and, well, if he did doubt, so do we. And it's helpful to see our failings in the disciples too. And by the way, fail means first attempt in learning. Please remember that. Thomas sees Jesus, but also understands that having seen Jesus, he has also seen God. That is something new. He has addressed Jesus and addressed him as God. This is a revelation, a new understanding of who Jesus is, that he really is the Son of God. Back at the beginning of John's Gospel, if you remember, the words are, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning." And the word, the Greek word logos there, is referring to Jesus. So John's Gospel has almost come full circle. Thomas has made this discovery for himself. My Lord, Jesus, and my God, his Father. You will remember too that in the first occurrence when Jesus appeared to the disciples before Thomas was there, he breathed on them. Now, in Scripture, the words breath, wind, and spirit are the same word both in Greek and Hebrew. And the beginning of the Bible, God breathed on Adam to bring him to life. Here Jesus is breathing on his disciples to give them the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we see this happening on a more of a worldwide basis at Pentecost in the Acts of the Apostles. Not only are we called to follow and believe in Jesus, but we too are given this gift of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, who enables us as we speak about Jesus, as we live our lives for Jesus, being bold and strong, and do things that we never dreamed we could or would do. Just as Jesus sent out the disciples to tell others about himself, his Father, and the new relationship between God and man with the tools they needed, we too are sent out to share this good news in lots of different ways and with the tools that we need. Maybe we won't end up in India as Thomas reputedly did. Maybe we'll remain always in Chemnay, who knows? Regardless, he will accompany us through life if we believe as we see Thomas doing here. God our Father became man in Jesus, has given us resources that we need through the Holy Spirit, gives us our peace, and invites us to follow him on our life journey. I'd like to share a brief reflection. This is Thomas speaking. I expected him to give me a row. Not, as you might think, for doubting. We'd all doubted at different times, and he was never angry. Indeed, he doubted himself sometimes. Or if he didn't, he certainly understood how it felt, because he would sing the Psalms of Doubt with great fervour. Doubt wasn't an enemy to him. He could stand us doubting It was indifference he couldn't thole, indifference and apathy. I expected him to give me a row and make some for making conditions. I did do that, and I don't deny it. If only I see this and do that, then I believe. Fancy me thinking I could make conditions with God. But he didn't take me to task. He saw that I was happy because I had seen, and he said that they were also happy who believed without making conditions, without saying if only or unless. I expected him to give me a row because I wasn't there when he came. The others were present. I was absent. It wasn't their fault or his fault. It was mine. I had, for whatever reason, decided that it was all finished. He came back to say, "It's all beginning." I expected him to give me a row, but he didn't. He gave me his hand, and more than that, he gave me his peace. And I'd like to invite you all now to share his peace with each other. Peace be with you. Peace be with you, Peter. Peace be with you. We're going to have the prayers for the world now.
Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your reminder that you are our Lord and our God. And we thank you that you are the same today, yesterday, and forever. We ask you to help us to keep our eyes on you and to keep trusting in you, our Lord and our God, in all situations. And Lord, may we trust in your peace, the peace that you brought between ourselves and yourself, through the death and resurrection of Jesus, our Lord. And Father, as we look at the world, we see so much which is not peaceful. Lord, we see the wars that are in Syria, in Iraq, in Yemen, in South Sudan, Afghanistan, and so many other places. We see refugees, we see displaced people, we see bereaved, traumatized, and we see people who also have bloodthirst and people who care little about others. Lord, we ask that you will work in those countries, that you'll work through your people, you'll work through other peacemakers, that there will be peace, there will be an end to conflict. And even more, Lord, we pray that there will be healing and there will be hope as people turn to you as their Lord and their God in Christ. Lord, we pray for the situation between North Korea and the United States and other parts of the world. We see the tensions there. We see the uncertainties, the unpredictabilities. But Lord, we pray for wisdom. We pray for cool-headedness. And we pray for diplomacy. And we pray that people will start trusting each other rather than lacking in trust. Lord, indeed, that will take a great miracle, but Lord, you are the God of miracles, and we bring these things to you. And Lord, we also live in a world of political uncertainties. In so many ways, there are elections, we see extremes developing in people's views, nationalisms and divisions rather than unity. And Lord, we just don't know where all these things are going to go. But Lord, we know that you are our Lord and our God. May we trust you and put our hope in you and not in politics. But may we influence what's going on in our world around us and bring your hope and bring your peace. And may people see you, because people are not reliable, but you are. And may they put their hope in you and indeed declare that you are their Lord and their God. And Lord, may we be your peacemakers wherever we are. Help us to share the good news of you being Lord and God. And Lord, help us to be able to respond to people's questions and doubts. Help us to present the reasons for our faith as you give us strength and wisdom through the Holy Spirit, that they too might believe in you. Just use us this week and in the coming years, that, Lord, you will be glorified. And we pray for those who are sick or bereaved and those who are suffering around us. Again, may we bring your hope to them. Help us to support them and care for them and show your love. And we pray for your blessing, particularly on Joshua and Heather. We pray for a speedy recovery, that you will be with him. We thank you that they trust you, and we ask that your Spirit will fill them and refresh them. Give them your blessing, Lord. And Father, we thank you that as we go from this place, you are indeed our Lord and our God. And may we bring your peace to all around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So as we go out from worship into the days, the weeks ahead of us, let's walk with the Lord, and let's sing about that now.
Thank you.
As we walk from this place this morning, Lord, help us to fix our eyes on you. Let nobody else take your place, so that hour by hour you will give us the power we need till at last we have run the great race. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest and remain with each one of you now and forever. Amen.